Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
On that first Christmas morn, God sent the second person of the Godhead, had him born of the Virgin Mary, so that he might die on the cross for those who were in every way repulsive, sinful, and deserving of his wrath. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Merry Winter Solstice Festival. We could not possibly wish you a more enthusiastic, prosperous, happy, and healthy Winter Solstice Festival and New Year. Cheers! That is the greeting that we would give you if Christmas never happened. It seems these days we tend to take Christmas and perhaps Jesus Christ for granted. We hear the Christmas carols, we hear the Christmas sermons, we see the decorations everywhere, and Christmas becomes a little bit ho-hum. Seen it, been there, done that. In fact, sometimes, frankly, it's a pain in the neck. Being with those relatives, doing all that food preparation, it's not fun. Well, today, let's imagine what your life, what my life would be like if Jesus Christ had not come to this earth 2,000 years ago. Now, I understand that there's all kinds of spiritual implications to this. We're not going to explore those today. We're not going to get into the nuances of the theology if Jesus had never been born. But we are going to take this time to imagine what the world would be like if Messiah had never come. And maybe by the time we're done, we will appreciate this Christmas. With very special thanks to D. James Kennedy, this first segment is taken from his work. He's written a book, which is called What If Jesus Had Never Been Born? And D. James Kennedy explores a lot of the areas that Jesus Christ has had influence. Now, we have to recognize that for 2,000 years, this is nothing new. The claim that Jesus Christ and Christianity have just, well, they've just wrecked history. Nothing but wars. They've thwarted progress. They've upset the established order, and this has been going on for 2,000 years. Go back to Acts 17, verse 6, specifically, if you will. Paul and Silas protested to authorities that these who have turned the world upside down have come here too. Wow. The claim that Christianity and Jesus Christ have done nothing but wreck history, they've just created wars, they're ignorant rubes, and they've wrecked education, they've wrecked science. It's been going on for 2,000 years. Go back to Acts 17:6. Do you remember this story? An angry first century mob were rioting over the preaching of Paul and Silas. And what did they say to the authorities about Paul and Silas? These who have turned the world upside down have come here too. Guess what? A century later, the pagan writer Celsus blasted Christians. Same charge, same accusation. This is nothing new. You use all the force of your magic arts, he said, to accomplish the ruin of mankind. German philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche returned to his that same smear campaign in 1888. He labeled Christianity, quote, the one immortal blemish of mankind. Very influential thinker. Nietzsche gave us the phrase, God is dead. He can lay claim to inspiring Adolf Hitler to do mass murder. He said, quote, the Christian church has left nothing untouched by its depravity. It has turned every value into worthlessness and every truth into a lie and every integrity into baseness of soul. Imagine that. 20th century British philosopher Bertrand Russell, same story, branded Christianity as the principal enemy of moral progress in the world. Huh. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? We hear the same thing today. After 2,000 years, the accusation that Christianity is detrimental to mankind is just a well-entrenched lie of the secular assault. They assault everything, frankly, in Christianity, but that Christianity has been bad for the world has been going on for 2,000 years. Are they right? Let's imagine, shall we? Let's imagine, because I would like to suggest to you, just like D. James Kennedy does, after we examine the influence of Jesus Christ on our world, it should cause us to get down on our knees and thank God for Jesus Christ. This quote from Father Francis Martin, a theologian at the John Paul II Cultural Center in Washington, D.C., said, Jesus Christ has been the most powerful influence in the history of the world. A fellow named Vishal Mangalwadi, an author, intellectual, social reformer in India, regards Jesus as the single most important force behind the creation of the modern world. Just one evidence, according to Vishal Mangalwadi? He points to the 19th century elimination of suti, the burning of Indian widows. Their husbands would die, burn the wives too. One example of a positive change in this world because of followers of Jesus Christ bringing the idea to India that, hey, you don't burn women because their husbands died. Women have value. Quick overview. The influence, the impact of Jesus Christ has been seen in hospitals, university, literacy and education, capitalism, free enterprise, representative government, separation of political powers, civil liberties, the abolition of slavery, modern science, the condemnation of adultery, homosexuality, and other perversions, the elevation of women, charity, the Good Samaritan ethic, higher standards of justice, the elevation of the common man, high regard for human life, the civilizing of many barbarian and primitive cultures, the codifying of many world's languages, greater development of art and music, the countless changed lives transformed from liabilities to culture into assets because of the gospel, and ultimately, the eternal salvation of countless souls. What if Jesus had never been born? Imagine life. Imagine science, for instance. Francis Bacon, often regarded as the father of the scientific method, said, quote, "Natural philosophy, which is the study of nature, is, after God's word, the surest medicine for superstition and also the most approved nourishment of faith. And so she is rightly given to religion as a most faithful handmaiden." Many, 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 many of the great scientists were Christian, and they endeavored in the scientific arena because they wanted to understand how God operated the universe. And so many of the things that we understand today, the foundations of science and the way the world works, were discovered because Christian men wanted to understand how God did it. It was their job to explore the laws of His creation. What about schools? What about schools? Did you know that in this country, that for the first 200 years, education was explicitly Christian? And the results? Listen to this quote from John Adams. In the early 1800s, John Adams observed that to find an illiterate man in New England was as rare as a comet. Why? Because Christians educated people. The university is another great example. According to Dr. Paul Mayer, professor of ancient history at Western Michigan University, the university was born in the bosom of the church. No Jesus, no church, no universities. Alexander Murray, a retired history professor at Oxford University, agrees. Quote, "The church had a lot to do with the birth of the university. The church positively encouraged the creation of schools and the financing system." It goes all the way back to Harvard. Instructed students to, quote, "lay Christ at the bottom." Harvard, you heard me right. Same one. "Lay Christ at the bottom as the only foundation of all sound knowledge and learning." Nearly every one of the first 123 colleges founded in the United States was established by Christians for Christian purposes. And the battle cry today is Christians are intellectual fools. No, they're not. They're responsible for the university system in this country. Harvard, Yale, Princeton, Dartmouth, and Brown were all explicitly rooted in the Christian faith, according to Dr. Osgenes. The most commonly cited motto in American institutions of higher learning, according to Dr. Osgenes, is taken from Jesus' words, "The truth shall set you free." For the first 200 years of this nation's history, education was explicitly Christian. Hey, here's another problem with Christianity, say the secularists. It's killed so many people, those crusades. Is that right? Has there been more bloodshed because of Christianity, or would there be more bloodshed without Christianity? More people have been killed in the name of Christ than in any other name, they cry. Is that right? Let's do some math. Truth is that atheists have scattered way more corpses across killing fields. Consider the atrocities during the Crusades and the Inquisition compared to Stalin, who killed 40 million, Hitler, who was responsible for the death of 6 million Jews, plus another 9 to 10 million other people. Listen to this quote. from Rabbi Daniel Lappin, an Orthodox rabbi. It is almost impossible to imagine the depravity of the world that had never been exposed to Christianity. It is Christianity that keeps people from killing people. It is not Christianity that's been responsible for more deaths. It is secular humanism, and that is what the world would be controlled by if Jesus Christ had never come to this earth. Consider the emancipation of slaves. We can thank the Christian church. We can thank people like William Wilberforce, an evangelical Christian and member of the British Parliament in the 19th century, dedicated his life to abolishing the slave trade. In America, Christians who promoted the end of slavery. The Underground Railroad was run by Quakers and other Christians. In 1835, two-thirds of the members of the Abolition Society were ministers of the gospel of Christ. Abortion, it is Christians who fight it. Cannibalism, it is Christians who say no. Slavery, Christians. Hospitals, Christians. Universities, Christians. Music, arts, you name it. It is Christians who have been responsible for it. And it is Jesus Christ who has been the inspiration. Without Jesus Christ, we would not be living in a world that consisted of all of these fine things that we know and enjoy. What would life be like without Jesus Christ? It would be like C.S. Lewis said, it would be winter all the time without Christmas. Merry Christmas. We'll continue.
Thanks for joining us today. Always appreciate when you choose to spend part of your day listening to Wretched Radio. As this year comes ever so quickly to a close, would you, could you, prayerfully consider becoming a Wretched Monthly Gospel Partner? We could truly use your financial support. Wretched is growing. We are really growing, and we have the opportunity to reach more and more people with the gospel. But to do that, we need your year-end support. Go to wretched.org/donate for details on how you can become a Wretched Monthly Gospel Partner. wretched.org/donate. Please know we will be faithful stewards of your money. Right now, 83% of every dollar sent to us goes directly to ministry work. So would you prayerfully consider today becoming a gospel partner? wretched.org/donate. wretched.org/donate. Donate. Thank you. And Merry Christmas. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Let's go to Eastern Europe for yet another great story coming out of the Tomorrow Clubs.
Andrea was left by her mother when she was 3 months old. The Tomorrow Club director decided to pray for this girl and she repented. She used to be a sad looking kid. Now seems like that smile never comes off her face.
So many kids are abandoned by parents who need to go to other countries to make a living. They donate their organs. They leave the kids. They are lost physically and spiritually, and the Tomorrow Clubs finds them. They teach them the gospel. They help them to memorize Bible verses. They even will help them with their family lives. It's a magnificent ministry, story after story coming out of Eastern Europe. $30 a month, 30 disciples. Tomorrow Clubs is the ministry. Would you please consider supporting a club of your own? TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
Merry Christmas from your not-so-politically-correct friends here at Wretched. Did you know right now Wretched is having a Christmas sale? Well, now you do. Right now, Wretched is having a Christmas sale. That means when you visit the Wretched store, you will see that everything is 50% off when you use promo code CHRISTMAS. 50% off everything. Books, DVDs, CDs, 50% off when you use the promo code CHRISTMAS. So visit the Wretched store at wretched.org/sale. Oh, by the way, for every order of $40 or more, you'll also receive a free copy of Herman Hu. If my math is correct, that's a $24.99 value, absolutely free. So stock up on all your Christmas goodies this year and save up to 50% and get a free copy of Herman Hu. Pretty much that easy. Visit wretched.org/sale and be sure you use the promo code CHRISTMAS to get all your 50% off savings. That's wretched.org/sale.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the seed of the woman. Immediately after the fall of man, God promised a Savior who would be the offspring of the woman. Jesus was born of a virgin, a divine Savior born of the seed of woman. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Happy Kwanzaa! Happy, happy Kwanzaa, and please have a prosperous and successful new year. Make as much money as you can. Have as many good times as possible. Because, hey, when we die, the party's over. So eat, drink, and be merry, and have a happy Kwanzaa. That is exactly what we might be wishing you if Jesus Christ had never been born. If Jesus Christ had not come to this earth to save mankind 2,000 years ago, what religion would we be celebrating today? What man-made concoction? What altar would we be bowing at? What idol would we carve out and fall to our knees to worship? It wouldn't be Jesus Christ. What would it be? How would we be living? What would we be doing? How would we be acting? How safe would we be? What would life be like if Jesus Christ had never come to this earth 2,000 years ago? I would like to suggest to you, you wouldn't be safe, and your sons and your daughters would not be safe at all. I would like to suggest to you, you would be disease-infested without Jesus Christ and the restraining principles of His Holy Spirit, and without the direction of the Bible, we would be living like animals. In fact, we'd be living worse than animals. Do you know, if Jesus Christ had not come to this earth 2,000 years ago, there would be no Bible. What is the reason for the Bible? It is for man to understand God as He is, what He expects of us, and His means of salvation for us. And if Jesus Christ hadn't come, there would be no salvation. There would be no Bible. There would be no principles, no precepts given to us for us to obey and for us to live by. It would all be gone. What would life be like without the Bible because Jesus Christ didn't come to save the world? Well, let's consider the depravity of mankind. I want to take you to Leviticus 18. Leviticus 18 is a stunning book. It says all kinds of things in there that you would think, well, that certainly isn't necessary. Let me read to you some sections of Leviticus 18 that are just stunning. God said, "You must not imitate the pagans' way of life. If you obey my laws, my regulations, you will find life through them." All of these laws were given to point us toward the Messiah to come. Without a Messiah, there was no reason for these laws. They would not have been given. And then we would have never had the restraining influence of Leviticus 18. What restraining influence? Listen to this. "You must never have sexual intercourse with a close relative." Huh? "Do not violate your father by having sexual intercourse with your mother." What? She's your mother, and you must never have intercourse with you, the Bible says. "Do not have sexual intercourse with any of your father's wives, for this would violate your father." That sounds interesting. "Do not have sexual intercourse with your sister or half-sister." "Do not have sexual intercourse with your granddaughter." "Do not have sexual intercourse with the daughter of any of your father's wives." It goes on and on and on and on and on, describing all the people we shouldn't have sex with. Listen to this. "Do not give any of your children as a sacrifice to Molech, for you must not profane the name of the Lord your God. I am the Lord." All the other world religions, I shouldn't say all the other, but many of the other world religions, sacrificing children to their gods. God says, don't do that. We might be living in a world where we sacrificed our children to other gods. Now listen to verse 23 of Leviticus 18. "A man must never defile himself by having sexual intercourse with an animal. And a woman must never present herself to a male animal in order to have intercourse with it." This is a terrible perversion. Now, why did God see fit to put those things in the Bible? I would suggest to you that it is because other societies were practicing those very things. And it wasn't until the introduction of Leviticus 18 rules, like don't have sex with animals, that it started to restrain and curb the perverse behavior of man. Dennis Prager wrote a history of homosexuality. And Dennis Prager rightly suggests that sexual activity in the ancient world was unbridled. And it wasn't until God channeled it into marriage that the world became civilized. And that the possibility of the Western civilization was available. Because otherwise, we were living like worse than animals. Societies in the ancient world did not place boundaries around sexuality. And every time, if you look at a society that behaves like that, they are typically underdeveloped. It is when sexual activity is controlled and defined that societies flourish. What else happens when the Bible makes sure that people don't practice sex with animals or homosexuality? It elevates the status of woman. Human sexuality, especially male sexuality, is polymorphous. It is utterly wild. Men have had sex with women and with men and with little girls and young boys, with a single partner, in large groups, with total strangers, immediate family members, domesticated animals, any object a man will have sex with. We are by nature perverse. Without Jesus Christ, without the laws that pointed to him, that is how we would be behaving today. We would be perverse. Consider the difference that God made when he revealed himself to the world. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth by his will, not through sexual behavior. That was a radical break from other religions. The gods of virtually all civilizations engaged in sexual relations. Consider this. In the Near East, the Babylonian god Ishtar seduced a man, Gilgamesh, the Babylonian hero. In Egyptian religion, the god Osiris had sexual relations with his sister, the goddess Isis, and she conceived the goddess Horus. In Canaan, El, the chief god, had sex with Asherah. In Hindu belief, the god Krishna was sexually active, having had many wives and pursuing Radha. The god Sambha, son of Krishna, seduced mortal women and men. In Greek beliefs, Zeus married Hera, chaste women, abducted the beautiful young male Ganymede, and did other perverted things. Poseidon married Amphitrite, pursued Demeter, and raped Tantalus. In Rome, the gods sexually pursued both men and women. Not our God. You wouldn't know that without our Bible, and you wouldn't know that if Messiah had not come 2,000 years ago. Considering the sexual activity of the gods, we can imagine what the sexual activity was like of the mortals. In the ancient Near East, virgins were deflowered by priests prior to engaging in relations with their husbands. Sacred ritual prostitution was almost universal. Throughout the ancient Near East, from very early times, the intercourse formed a part of goddess worship. In ancient Egypt, Mesopotamia, and Canaan, annual ceremonial intercourse took place between the king and a priestess. Women prostitutes had intercourse with male worshippers in the sanctuaries and temples in Mesopotamia, Phoenicia, Cyprus, Corinth, Carthage, Sicily, Egypt, Libya, West Africa, modern India. You get the point. Sex was rampant. Sex was perverse. The laws of God came along to instruct man how to live, that they might understand their need for a Messiah who was born 2,000 years ago. Without it, life would be like it was back then. Why wouldn't it be? Leviticus 18 changed the way the world thought about sex. It took it from unbridled and have sex with anything you can and moved it into the realm of marriage. And from that, we have civilized societies. Dennis Prager did an outstanding job in this presentation. He says the revolutionary nature of Judaism's prohibiting all forms of non-marital sex was nowhere more radical, more challenging to the prevailing assumptions of mankind than with regard to homosexuality. I didn't read to you Leviticus 18, verse 22. Do not practice homosexuality. That was a radical introduction to the world. Martha Nussbaum, professor of philosophy at Brown University, said the ancients were no more concerned with people's gender preference than people today are with others' eating preferences. I will spare you the ugly details, but back then the idea was not to have a sexual relationship so that we could enjoy one another, have a close union with one another, have an understanding of how God wants us to be intimate with him, to have a relationship with him. We wouldn't understand it because their attitude towards sex in ancient times was nothing more than who was the penetrator and who was penetrated. That is how they viewed sex. That is all sex was about. Prager writes, ancient categories of sexual experience differed. The central distinction in sexual morality was the distinction between active and passive roles. The gender of the subject is not in itself morally problematic. Boys and women, they're just objects of male desire. The only distinction was penetrator and penetrated. And it's not as an interaction, it's just what you're doing to someone. That was the attitude toward homosexual sex. And it was prevalent in almost every society except Judaism and Christianity. David E. Greenberg writes this. Other than the Jews, none of the archaic civilizations prohibited homosexuality per se. Leviticus 18. The moral law of God, because of the promise of Jesus Christ, restricted behavior and changed it from being penetrator to penetratee to being in the context of marriage. Now, this has a lot to do with you, lady. You should know this. Homosexuality's negative effect on women is unmistakable. In societies where men sought out men for love and sex, women were relegated to society's periphery. There's no mistake about it. In ancient Greece, which elevated homosexuality to an ideal. Men were misogynistic. You were the housekeeper and you bore the kids. The end. And if you look at other cultures where homosexuality was widespread, Arabian society, Chinese society, France at times, then women took not just a back seat, but they were mere objects. While other cultures were writing homoerotic poetry, who wrote Song of Songs, a beautiful poem depicting male-female sensual love? That would be a Jew who did that. Why? Because it was the Bible, it was Leviticus, it was the promise of Messiah that changed sex from being animalistic to being something that was done in the context of marriage. Otherwise, we wouldn't have the society we live in today, and you'd be locking up your sons and you'd be locking up your daughters for Christmas. What would Christmas be like if Jesus Christ had never come? What would the world be like if Jesus had never come to this earth? We'll continue with more.
Mexico. The Incarnation is one of the greatest miracles recorded in the Bible. At the Incarnation, the Eternal God became a human being. He did not abandon his deity, nor did he put on a human shell like a hand puts on a puppet. Jesus Christ is 100% human and 100% God. The only acceptable sacrifice for the forgiveness of sins.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Do you know what those poor people who are living on the streets will be doing this Christmas? Ah, who cares? There's no Christmas! Who cares? They're just poor people. They're the plebs. Let them starve. I'm better. Who cares? That's what those people can do for Christmas, because that's what the attitude would be like if Jesus Christ had not come to this earth 2,000 years ago, and if there were no Christmas. We've been taking a look at what life would have been like if Jesus Christ did not come to this earth. There would be more. There's certain. There would be no Salvation Army taking care of them, because there'd be no salvation story. So who'd be taking care of the poor? We've been taking a look at, well, there would be fewer hospitals. There would be fewer the university structure as we know it wouldn't exist. The emphasis on education would not exist the way that it does today because of the influence of Jesus Christ. Arts, music, history, the barbarianism, cannibalism, abortion, sexual perversion would all be rampant without Jesus Christ. It would be a radically different world if Jesus Christ had not come to this earth 2,000 years ago. If you have grown kind of ho-hum to Christmas, well, I got to go do this and that for Christmas, and we got to get the stuff done for kids. Think about what would life be like if Christmas hadn't happened, if Jesus Christ hadn't come to this earth. And maybe when we're done, you'll appreciate the birth of our God a little bit more. Let's make this personal, shall we? What would life be like without Jesus Christ? Seems these days we have to beat kids' knuckles with a ruler to help them memorize Bible verses. Maybe that was you. Maybe you. This is the thought of memorizing Bible verses. Ugh, what a chore. Who needs that? That's just too much hard work. Imagine if Jesus hadn't come to this earth and we would never get to hear, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life." You wouldn't even know that verse. You'd never get to hear Ephesians 2:8 and 9. "By grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." The only verses you might know about will be God's judgment and wrath. You would never hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Those precious Bible verses that bring you comfort wouldn't exist. You wouldn't have Psalm 23 to recite in times of trouble. In fact, I didn't find a Bible verse on purpose. I'm going to randomly open up my Bible and read a verse that is underlined in my Bible. And maybe we'll read one of those precious verses and we'll go, "Whoa, we wouldn't have that if Jesus Christ hadn't come." This is John chapter 3. Imagine that. This is verse 18. "There is no judgment awaiting those who trust him." You wouldn't have that verse if Jesus Christ hadn't come to this earth. Let me just take you to Luke chapter 13, verse 34. "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones God's messengers, how often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen protects her chicks beneath her wings, but you wouldn't let me. Imagine, you wouldn't have those stories about Jesus doing those things. You wouldn't have the Christmas story. You wouldn't have the story about the manger. You wouldn't have any of God's Word. You wouldn't have any Christmas carols. Yeah, I know they get annoying at this time of year. But imagine life without carols like this.
Oh, come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel, that mourns in lonely exile here, until the Son of God.
Imagine, we never sing that song. That would never even exist because Jesus Christ wouldn't be here. You'd miss that. There's an argument these days in the church. Classic hymn, traditional hymns, or praise and worship, which one is better? Well, the argument would be moot. There'd be no point in discussing it. Because without Jesus Christ, you wouldn't even have this.
Immortal, invisible, God only wise, enlightened. Hid from our eyes, most blessed, most glorious, the Ancient of Days, Almighty, victorious, thy great name we praise.
All of those great hymns, gone, because Jesus hadn't been born. How's about Handel's Messiah? How about Bach? How about Mozart? How about all of those artists whose music we enjoy and cherish today? It's symphonies and orchestras. It wouldn't be here because it was usually the church who commissioned such works and supported the creation of gorgeous music that we love today. All gone. What would life be like if Jesus Christ had not come to this earth? Don't know about you, but when the end of the day comes, we're tired. And the kids are still squirrely. They're full of energy. And they're squirting all over the house. And we just want to get them to bed. And sometimes we find it very hard to sit and read the Bible, say prayers, share Bible stories. Imagine if Jesus Christ had not come to this earth, you wouldn't have to worry about it. Those sweet moments at your child's bedside, gone. No children's prayers. No, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. No bedtime stories, no Bible stories. How's about your family table? No, come Lord Jesus, be our guest and let these gifts to us be gone. You would never have heard those words. What if Jesus had never come? No Pilgrim's Progress. Do you love Pilgrim's Progress? Love that book. That beautiful allegory of the Christian's walk, the Pilgrim's walk with the burden of sin and it being removed by the grace of our God so that we can become a Christian and inherit eternal life. That amazing allegorical story written 300 years ago. Gone. Wouldn't be reading that. How's about schlepping to church for Sunday? You ever kind of find it difficult to get everybody ready and get to church? Well, don't worry. If Jesus Christ hadn't come, you wouldn't be going to church. You wouldn't be going to Christmas Eve service. Oh, what are we going to do about the Christmas Eve service? Should we go to the early? Should we go to the late? Don't worry. It's not an issue. There is no Christmas. There was no Jesus Christ. There would be no potlucks. There would be no Christian fellowship. Oh, the joy of Christian fellowship. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. Don't worry about it. You can go to the YMA, the Young Men's Association, not the Young Men's Christian Association. You go get your fellowship there. You can go to the Rotary Club and get your fellowship there, but you won't be getting it with believers because Christian fellowship wouldn't exist because Jesus Christ had never come. No church camp. None of those sweet Bible stories around the campfire. How many salvation stories have we heard of people getting saved at Bible camp? How's about you're in a quandary? You don't know what to do. You don't know what decision to make. Don't worry about it. You can just make your own decisions because you wouldn't have the Bible. You wouldn't have any objective authority to tell you how you're to live and how you're to behave. You can just make your own decision. Imagine life like that. How's about those people at church who help out? How's about those people who take care of the widows among us? That would be gone. How's about you getting helped? Have you ever been helped by a church? Have you ever had a meal brought to your house because somebody was sick or having a baby? That beautiful expression of love among Christians, gone. How's about those weddings? How's about you never hear 1 Corinthians 13? How's about the concept of a wedding covenant, a contract between a man and a woman, till death do you part? What's the point of that? Other societies prior to Christian covenant and the covenant in a Jewish society between a man and a woman? Polyamory, you knock yourself out. No 1 Corinthians 13 to remind us that love is patient, love is kind, it doesn't envy, it doesn't boast, it doesn't seek its own, it doesn't desire its own, it trusts all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Gone, because Jesus Christ had not come to this earth. Imagine this. You wouldn't have prayer. You would not have the ability to talk to Almighty God. Do you ever find it difficult to engage in prayer? Sometimes your brain is distracted. You've got a million things going on in your noggin. It's racing everywhere, and the discipline of prayer is so hard. It's so challenging. Hey, if Jesus Christ hadn't come to this earth, don't worry about it. You wouldn't ever need to pray. You wouldn't need to, because you wouldn't have access to the Father, because Jesus Christ was the intercessory. Boy, you know who our great theologian would be? Hebrews wouldn't tell us that we have a mediator between God and man. Paul Simon. We'd be living by his words. I'm a rock. I'm an island. You're all by yourself. We'd all be hedonists or Epicureans. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we'd die. There would be no point. There would be no prayer. There would be no access to God, because Jesus Christ had not come to this earth 2,000 years ago. We have a tendency to not only not appreciate the beautiful things that his life have brought us in church fellowship, Bible verses, the music, the fellowship, the relationships with our family and with our kids, the church activities, the weddings that he's provided. We sometimes can squawk about them. We shouldn't be squawking. We should be praising God for them, because they never would have been if Jesus Christ hadn't come to this earth 2,000 years ago. We've only just begun. The good stuff is just coming. Next, what would our life, what would our afterlife be like if Jesus had not come to this earth? What two pastors go through to bring Bibles to their parishioners in the Philippines.
Two pastors, they had to rise up 3 a.m. and walk for 2 hours. And after that, they have to ride a bangka across the river for an hour and then walk again for 3 hours just to get hold of those precious Bibles. They will return in the same way again to bring those Bibles to people whom they are ministering.
That is what they go through. What must you and I do to bring those Bibles to believers around the globe? Pick up our phones. Call Bible League International. Would you do that right now? $5 per Bible. Could you send 7 per month? Call Bible League International right now, and they will be delivered to the hands of a believer. 1-800-YES-WORD. Just giving you a chance to write that down or to call it. 1-800-YES-WORD to bring Bibles to believers through Bible League International. 1-800-YES-WORD.
There are certain things people love getting for Christmas. You know, like new toys, new socks, the newest iPhone. There are things Wretched would love for Christmas, too. Gospel partners. As this year is coming to a close, would you consider becoming a Wretched monthly gospel partner? You see, thanks to our gospel partners, you can find full episodes of Wretched Radio and TV at the home of all things Wretched, wretched.org, among many other resources. For free. Without our gospel partners, there simply is no Wretched. So if you enjoy watching or listening to Wretched and want to continue to do so, would you please consider becoming a Wretched gospel partner? Every dollar you give will be faithfully stewarded. In fact, right now, 83% of every dollar goes directly towards ministry work. Get the details on becoming a Wretched monthly gospel partner at wretched.org/donate. Visit wretched.org/donate.
Well, Geneva was married, but in her 20s, she had a one-year-old daughter at home that would interfere with her plans to go back to school, and so she was hoping she wasn't pregnant, but she was. I asked her how she felt about her pregnancy. She said, I don't want it, and my husband doesn't want it. to agree to do an ultrasound, and she didn't want to take any pictures of the ultrasound, but she did look at it for a long time. And so we put it in the file, and then we started walking out of the clinic with her, and she turns to the nurse, and she says, "Do you have any referrals for medical providers?" And I said, yeah, we've got a good doctor. You can go see him. Well, she went to him, and she chose life.
Ultrasounds save lives. Would you please consider supporting preborn.org, providing free ultrasounds, and presenting the gospel to moms and dads, $28 per ultrasound. How many could you support each month? Please support Preborn at preborn.org/wretched.
Books of the Bible. The book of Isaiah is a collection of prophecies given to Isaiah. It can be divided in two parts. Isaiah delivered bad news to Israel and the surrounding nations concerning God's judgment, and he delivered good news of salvation for those who repent. Isaiah also offers detailed prophecies concerning the coming Messiah, who offers eternal salvation. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Look in the eyes of people in a nation where Jesus Christ is not proclaimed. It's unmistakable. If you have never traveled to a third world country, to an Eastern Bloc nation that is poor, and they are poor in spirit because Jesus Christ is not preached from the mountaintops, there is an unmistakable dead look in the eyes of the people that you pass on the street. There is no hope. There is no joy. There is no expression. They are lifeless. They are dead. Their heads hang low. They are downtrodden in body and in spirit. And their eyes are blank. I'm not making it up. Ask somebody who has traveled overseas. It's almost Christmas, and we are talking about what would life be like if Christmas weren't, if Jesus Christ had never come to this earth. I would suggest to you that all of our eyes would look like people in a third world country. They would be filled with death, with hopelessness. And why wouldn't they? We would have no hope. When we would attend the funeral of a loved one, what would we preach? What would we say? What comfort would we give to those in attendance? What hope for the future would there be? There would be none. How many funerals would you have to go to where the hope of a resurrection, of a life after death, were not preached because Jesus had not come to this earth until your eyes started to look dead? How many sleepless nights would you have if there was nothing when you were dead? Nothing. Gone. Snuffed out. The end. No hope. But we have hope because Jesus Christ did come to this earth. If Jesus hadn't come to this planet to redeem it, we would never hear this preaching at a funeral from 1 Corinthians 15. For when the trumpet sounds, when Jesus returns, the Christians who have died will be raised with transformed bodies. And then we who are living will be transformed so that we will never die. For our perishable earthly bodies must be transformed into heavenly bodies that will never die. When this happens, when our perishable earthly bodies have been transformed into heavenly bodies that will never die, then at last the scriptures will come true. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? For sin is the sting that results in death, and the law gives sin its power. How we thank God, who gives us victory over sin and death through Jesus Christ our Lord. How would your eyes look if you never heard those words preached at another sermon, knowing that every loved one, everybody you held dear, was not able to have a hope for eternity? How would you live? What would your eyes look like? How dead would they be if there was no hope for you? Forget your loved ones for a minute. What about you? It is appointed unto man once to die, and then judgment. There would be no hope for you. If Jesus Christ had never come, there would be no hope. We would weep, we would mourn, as the pagans do, without any hope. Worse than that, sir, madam, not only would you not have hope, one thing is certain. For your sins, you would not spend eternity in heaven. You can be assured you would be spending eternity in hell. If Jesus Christ had not come to this earth to be the perfect, unblemished Lamb of God, the perfect sacrifice
of God, the Son in whom he is well pleased. That was never said of any other sacrifice. The Son in whom he is well pleased, the unblemished Lamb of God. If his blood had not been shed for the forgiveness of your sins would not be forgiven, and you can count on it, you would be spending eternity in a lake of fire, with weeping, with gnashing of teeth, because your sins will condemn you on the day of judgment. Walk around in your life thinking about that. No hope of a resurrection, no hope of eternity, only certainty of an eternity in a lake of sulfur. How would your eyes look? How would you think? How would you treat your children? How would you get up in the morning? It would be hopeless. But Jesus Christ did come to this earth. What we've been talking about today is all fiction. All of the horrible things that we have heard about would be happening if Jesus Christ hadn't come to this planet. But he did come to this planet. He did come to this earth, and he came here so that he might be glorified. And the way that he is most glorified is when he takes somebody like you, a worthless sinner, and redeems you and turns you into a new creature. And when one day he will give you a new body, a perfect body, an eternal body, where you will praise him forever in eternity, and all the world will say, whoa, what an amazing God who did such an amazingly kind thing for a wretch like that. That is what Christmas is about. That is what it is about. It's not about the spirit of the season, whatever that means. It is about Jesus Christ coming to this earth. Why? To rescue you from your sins. It is as simple as that. Matthew 1:23 makes it very clear. Jesus didn't come for you to be fulfilled, to have purpose, to have territory expansion, to sing wonderful carols and get a buzz out of the season. He came to rescue you from your sins. You don't know what they are? Take a look at the Ten Commandments. Loving the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. That is the first commandment, that we should love God with everything that we are, that we shouldn't make a graven image. We shouldn't make a God to suit ourselves, one that we think, well, I like that God, or, yeah, I like Christianity, and I like Buddhism, and I like Hinduism, and I'll kind of mush the whole thing together. Sorry, Second Commandment says you can't do that. There is no other name under heaven whereby men must be saved. You can confess it now, or you can confess it on the day of judgment, but every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You do it now, or you do it in eternity when it's too late, but I guarantee you, you will be confessing Jesus Christ as Lord. It's his commandment. He is the only God, and he commands our affection and our attention. And every second we fail to give it to him, we are sinning. So how many seconds, how many minutes, how many days, how many years have you sinned against God by not keeping those commandments? You ever taken his name in vain? Have you given him one day out of the week? Have you thanked him for every meal that he's provided for you? Have you thanked him for your spouse, your children, your life, your breath, everything that is precious to you? If you have not, you have sinned against God. Have you ever been angry with somebody? Then you've committed murder in your heart. God is that holy. He is that righteous. He is that just. He sees the intentions of the heart, not just the acts that we do. He judges us based on what we're thinking. Adultery? Have a lustful thought? Been looking at that porn, sir, madam? Been engaged in an emotional affair with somebody on the internet? You've committed adultery. Stolen anything? An apple from a tree marks you as a thief in the eyes of God Almighty. Told a lie? Have you ever coveted, desired something that didn't belong to you? Do you love the world more than you love your God? You've sinned against him time and time and time and time again. And if Jesus Christ had not come to this earth, you would be punished for each and every one of those thoughts, each and every one of those deeds, where every secret sin is brought into the light on your personal day of judgment, and all you could look forward to is hell. But God demonstrates his love for us, and that he died for us while we were sinning. Christmas is about Jesus Christ coming to this world to redeem you, to provide you with the opportunity to receive everlasting life. And I would beg you this Christmas season, if you have never received God's forgiveness, then you must know, you must humble yourself, die to yourself, confess, forsake your sins, cry out to God for mercy. And he says, if you do that, I will give you everlasting life. I will forgive you of your sins because Jesus Christ shed his blood for the payment of your sins. Without Jesus Christ, you have no hope of heaven. Period. He came The story is true. You can bank on it. As sure as you are hearing my voice, Jesus Christ came to this earth, and you can be assured of this. He is going to come back again. There are a lot of people who mock and who scoff at the idea of Jesus' first coming. They will not be scoffing at his second coming when he comes back in flaming fire with his holy angels to judge those who refuse to repent, who live for themselves. God will pour out his anger and his wrath on everyone who lives for themselves and who practices evil deeds. I am begging you, I am pleading with you, please know that the story of Christmas is about Jesus Christ coming to this earth, demonstrating his love for you, so that you might be forgiven for your sins. Otherwise, you will be going to hell. What would life be like if Jesus didn't come to this earth? It would be hopeless. It would be bleak. It would be eternity in hell. Forget no hospitals, no universities, no great music, no hymns, no Bible studies, no fellowship, no potlucks. All of it insignificant. If Jesus Christ had not come to this earth, you would have no hope for an everlasting life. But he did come, and now today he commands you to repent. God's word makes it very clear. You must humble yourself, and he will exalt you in due time. Do not ask him into your heart. Do not say that you've decided this day that I'm gonna get right with God. You can't. All you can do is decide that you need saving by this gracious God and throw yourself at his mercy. And he says, if you will do that, if you will humble yourself, he will lift you up and he will give you a new heart with new desires. And he will do that as well as forgive you of your sins, and he will give you everlasting life. And he will do it because Jesus Christ did come to this earth. Please, I am begging you today, do not reject this marvelous message of God's amazing kindness. Today is the day of salvation. Please, get right with God. Humble yourself before the mighty hand of God. And have a Merry Christmas.